Okay, so today's daf is Nazir Daf Gimel, and thought that a good possible topic to talk about is the topic we have here, even though one could argue that maybe having an introduction to Naziris would be a good idea, and I hear that, but it's going to be a little out of order. We're actually having a Siyum on Darim next week, a week from tonight, next week, mm-hmm. Thursday night.
At,
so
at the shul,
right. Don't worry about it. So then we'll have the Siyum then. So I guess we could talk about Nazir in more general terms that at that time. But so for tonight, a topic that's on the daf of today and Gimel going into Dalet. So it's now after Shkia. So for today's daf to tomorrow's daf, it crosses both. Is this topic of Kiddush and what exactly it entails on a level of Min HaTorah. And we can make a little bit of a Parsha connection also, time permitting. So it seemed like a good topic to use for tonight. So thank you again to Daniel Tracer for making the sheets. And just so we see where we're coming from as far as the Gemara. So the first source here is the quotation from Nazir Daf Gimel Amud Beis as a first source. And the Gemara tells us that you can interpret from the language of the Pasuk. Let's look here in the middle of this first source, about five lines up from the bottom of that box. So how mi boile, so we need the language of the Pasuk, lesor yein mitzvah ki yein harushos. That to say that not only is a nazir forbidden to drink wine just because he likes wine, but also, yein mitzvah is also included. He's not allowed to drink wine, even if it is the wine of a mitzvah. So the Gemara asks, we'll see there's different ways to read the Gemara, but we'll try one way first. So, mahi, so what are we talking about? Are we talking about kiddushta of yavdalta? That's what we mean when we say yein mitzvah, the wine that you would use for kiddush or avdala. Saharei mushpa v'aymer meharsina. So you already are bound to a commitment for mitzvos from Har Sinai. So, presumably, the question is, how could it be that Nazir should override that? How should it be that just because now you want to take a new commitment to commit to Naziris and to avoid wine, how could that justify your skipping out on your previous commitment of Kiddush and Avdala? So, Ella Kihada Amarava, rather, it's like Rava said, Shvuah Eshta. We're talking about a different situation. Let's say somebody had already taken a shvuah that he will drink wine. So now he has a mitzvah to drink the wine because of the shvuah. So now we need to be told that Nazir can compete with that. So that's all we need from this Gemara right now. But what about the statement that seems to imply that we have a obligation, min haTorah, to drink wine for Kiddush? Is that really true? So that was a major debate in the Rishonim. Right. What's the mitzvah min haTorah of Kiddush? So that is one of the Ten Commandments. Zocher Yisom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. So we can probably agree that there is a mitzvah min haTorah to recite Kiddush. That is conveyed from Zocher Yisom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. But what's not clear... Oh, no, that's actually a question itself. So what's not clear is what we do nowadays. How do we observe mitzvah Kiddush? So Friday night, we have a cup of wine and we recite a bracha over it and we drink from the wine and we do that at the place of the meal, Kiddush Makom Suda, and Shabbos day, we make Kiddush again. So is all of that included in the mitzvah min haTorah? Zocher Yisom HaShabbos L'Kadsho commands us to do all those things? Probably not. Probably at least some of that is midrabanan. And what is and what isn't was actually a pretty major machlokas. We'll see a little bit of a taste of it, no pun intended. But the truth is, there are many different views. There's one contemporary sefer called the Iyunim Bahalacha. He has Iyunim Bahalacha, where he has a piece about this. He lists 15 different shitas as to what is included in the mitzvah of Kiddush Min haTorah. We're not going to go through all 15 tonight, but we'll see some of them. But the question of how many of those parts that we listed before, maybe Havdalah might also be a candidate, how many of those parts That's the view of the Rambam, by the way, that Kiddush and Havdalah is what's included in Zachar, Soma, Shabbos, Akacho. So there are at least a bunch, maybe 15 different views as to what is included in the Din Min HaTorah. So is wine a part of it? Is the obligation to drink wine with Kiddush, is that really a mitzvah Min HaTorah? So it seems like Rashi's opinion is yes. And when I say seems like, a part of the seems part is it seems like it's Rashi, but it's not really Rashi. So the source number Beis over here, a second source, which is entitled Rashi al-Nazir, but we don't really have Rashi al-Nazir.
It's just like Nadarim?
Yes, exactly. So just like with Nadarim, you figured, okay, we finished Nadarim, we can finally come back to Rashi. So we don't have Rashi al-Nazir either.
But
there's a few more, but these are the big ones. In Kadshim, there are a few that also where Rashi is unusual. And Rav Shechter once had a comment, you have to be Rav Shechter to say, that he said, when you learn Maseches Me'ila, you'll realize that the Rashi is not Rashi, and the Tosas isn't Tosas. And it's not like other Masechtas, where even if Rashi is not Rashi, at least it was somebody who's qualified. In Mila, the Rashi is not qualified, and the Tosas isn't qualified. So that's why the Karen Ora had to start over from scratch and write his own commentary. So you have to be on a Madrega to be able to look, even if it isn't Rashi, but when it's written in Rashi's handwriting, we tend to take it pretty seriously. So to be able to assess whether it's qualified or not, it takes a certain madrega. So what we have in Rashi's handwriting in both Nedarim and Nazir is not Rashi. And in fact, I think Rav Soloveitchik said that there's a line in the Kinos on Tisha B'Av when we talk about the destruction of the burning of the Kinos talks about the burning of the Talmud. And there's a line there, Miyatir lanu nadarim, miyaflu lanu naziris. And that the Rav said, there's a reference to those are two mesechtas, nadarim and nazir, where we don't have Rashi, and we're so dependent on Rashi that we feel the sense of being orphaned when you don't have Rashi. So that was a way of conveying, when we're disconnected from Torah, who's going to explain to us? So there was a reference to those two mesechtas. Again, they're not the only two. Actually, also earlier in Shas, Moed Katan, we don't have regular Rashi either. Moed Katan, we have three candidates. That there's the Rashi that's printed on the page, and then in the pages of the Rif, where it normally reprints the Rashi, it's a different Rashi. And then there's a separate volume, that has what purports to be the real Rashi on Moed Katan. So there's three Rashis on Moed Katan. So there are a few Masechtas where things are unusual. But, and Rashi dies twice. Rashi dies in the middle of Bava Basra, and he dies also in Makos. Sorry? It says that. Here Rashi died, and here... It says it. Towards the end of Makos, the Rashi says, Rashi dies here, it's taken over from the Rivav after that. And in Bava Basra, so after the first two Prakim, we only have the Reshbam. So, in any event, there's a lot of that. Okay, but, so this comment over here, which whoever wrote it, that we call it the Mefarish, writing is Rashi's handwriting, so in Source Beis, so commenting on this line, Harei Mushpo V'Omer Alav Meher Sinai. So the Gemara, and to be fair, this does sound like the simple reading of the Gemara, right? So if, before you read any Rishonim, it sounds like that's what the Gemara said, that, oh, the Yain Mitzvah, how could you avoid the wine of Kiddush? You're Mushpav Yom Har Sinai. It's what it sounds like it means. That you have an obligation in HaTorah to drink wine of Kiddush. So the Mefarish says, the first line, Dichsiv Zachor Soma Shabbos Lekadsho. So the Pasuk says, Zachor Soma Shabbos Lekadsho. So far, that doesn't explain things yet. Except that there's a drasha that the Gemara has in Pesachim and Daf Kuvav. That's the next words here, Zachreyu Ala Yain. That Zechira apparently means that you should do so on wine. So, yes, indeed, that's what the Gemara says. But one could have thought that that's an asmachta, because it's hard to see how the Pasuk, Zachar Shem HaShabbos Lekadsho, actually includes a reference to wine. So when the Gemara has that sentence, that Zachar Shem HaShabbos Lekadsho, Zechirei Waliayin, it sounds like it's an asmachta. It sounds like that's not an actual interpretation of the Pasuk. But nonetheless, from the Mefarish here, from this pseudo Rashi, it sounds like it's taking it literally, taking this Gemara literally and that Gemara literally, and that yes, indeed, there's a Din Min HaTorah of wine for Kiddush. Okay, so there are others who agreed with this. But there are many who disagreed, and many who did not think that that's what the Gemara means. A number of these sources are here. We won't go through all of them. But just the one that probably is... We have the Tosfos here?
Can you explain like why Jachar connects to the one?
So the Shomim there explained there's a reference to a pasuk elsewhere where Zechira is mentioned in the connection of wine, but it's a hard jump to make to say that it's a din min haTorah. So here, do we have Tosfos in Nazir? I have a blank page, so I don't know if that's where it may have been. Do you have a blank page? Do you have Tosfos in Nazir? My second page here is blank. Let's see. Okay, so I'll tell you outside what Tosfos and Nazir says. So Tosfos on Gimel Amud Beis and Nazir. Tosfos questions this Mefarish, and Tosfos says that no, that's not what the Gemara means. That Gemara is an Asmachta, and there's no obligation in HaTorah to have wine for Kiddush. And what about the Gemara here in Nazir that says, "I mushbav aimer mahar Sinai"? So Tosfos quotes, I believe, Rabbeinu Tam, that it's bitmia, that's a sarcastic, so to speak, that is a non-ironic response. That what? You're telling me that I need this din in order to teach me that it would apply to the wine of Kiddush? Why shouldn't it apply to the wine of Kiddush? What? Hare mushbav aimer mahar Sinai? Well, we have a din haTorah to drink wine for Kiddush? Of course we don't. So therefore, it can't be it's referring to that, because that we know already. So in other words, two different ways to read the Gemara. One, like the Mefarish, that the Gemara is saying it can't be that the din is teaching us that a Nazir wouldn't drink Kiddush wine, because that's a din haTorah. And Tosfos' way of reading it is saying, no, it can't be that we need to have that limud, that a Nazir cannot drink Kiddush wine, because of course he wouldn't, because it's not a din min haTorah. So what? Hare mushbav aimer mahar Sinai? It's not a din min haTorah, so it must be teaching us something else.
Is that because the challah is another option to make Kiddush?
Not necessarily, no. Although some sources sound like that also.
But why isn't it? Why can't we just answer that you can make Kiddush on challah just as well as wine?
Because how do we know that we need to make Kiddush on anything?
On anything.
Right. That we know there's something commanded to us from Zohar, Shema, Shabbos, Akacho. But it could be that it's just the recitation. How do you know the Yini? Right. So
would the Mefarish hold that you can't make Kiddush on Challah?
No, because Challah... Oh, so that's a question, why don't we say the Nazir should just have Challah as the option?
Yeah,
right, so that's an interesting question, because it sounds like from the Gemara elsewhere that you certainly can make Kiddush on Challah.
That would be an easy way out.
Right, so that's itself a question. Maybe that's a raya, another raya that's probably not the most likely interpretation of the Gemara. So that's probably another weakness in the interpretation. So most of the Rishonim do not think that wine is min haTorah in Kiddush. But there are some that have a split in the middle. And there's some who suggest, if you look at Tosfos and Pesachim, so this is on the fourth page, Surah Zayin. Here, Tosfos, by the way, so in terms of the nature of the limud, so here, the Tosfos spells it out. So if you see...
Source Vav.
Yeah, Source Vav. How do you know that? That Zechira is connected with wine, because you have to look at the Pasuk in Hosea. Now, the Pasuk there, Zichru Kiyem Levano. Or a Pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Nezkiru Dedechem Yayin. So we find elsewhere in Tanakh, that Zechira is associated with wine. So therefore, maybe that's what the Gemara Pesachim means, that we have a tradition from Scripture that wine is the way you remember things, even though for many people wine is how you forget things, but apparently wine is for Zechira. So therefore, we can make this jump, and maybe that is indeed what the Pasuk means. So, V'hai Zechira hainu kiddush, V'yichulu lo matzino alakos, el betfila. Okay, so let's skip a little bit. So here he goes on to say, just to skip to the middle. So then just skip like here about the line starts Lomar. Right? So after saying all that, then Tosfos goes on to say, V'nira de kiddush al yayin asmachtihi. that it seems that really this whole limud is really an asmachta, that it's not really a dimin haTorah. V'had the amr b'mishamei, so the Gemara in Maseches Brachos, nash u'chayavos b'kiddush yom dvar Torah. Right, so the Gemara has that statement that women are obligated in kiddush min haTorah. So what about that? So yeah, hainu davka kiddush hayom. So yes, they are obligated in kiddush, just like men are obligated in kiddush min haTorah. But that doesn't tell us anything about wine. So val yayin lo havi el midrabanan. But wine, that's a rabbinic obligation. Kedemashma bereish nazir. So here he's giving this alternative reading of the Gemara in Nazir, as it sounds like in Nazir Gimel Beis. The Ka'amar yayin v'sheicher yazir la'asur yayin mitzvah kiyein rishos. Uparich my new kiddush avdallah. So what is a kiddush avdallah? Mishpah v'resinayu. What? That's obligation. So what? That's the itzurich kol mesar. What? This is something that comes from Har Sinai that we need a pasuk to answer it. That's how he's interpreting the Gemara in today's daf. Ella kihad amarava shvuish eshta v'chazam harini nazir itzurich kol the naziris chalav. So no, it means something else. It means that if somebody takes a shvu, it's going to drink. So the naziris is going to apply on that. And that's why we need the pasuk. But here he's conveying this reading that it is that this is an esmachta. Right? So even though we didn't have here the Tosfos and Nazir, but the Tosfos here in Psachim essentially says pretty much the same thing, that it's an esmachta, and the Gemara should be read the opposite way. Not that it's impossible for the din of Naziris to outweigh Kiddush, but we don't need it because there's no obligation of wine min haTorah. But there's another. The last line here, right under the wire, Tosfos throws out something else. It says, "Va'od matzina lemeimar." But there's another thing we could say. What is that? The kiddush ahayayin dvar Torah. That yes, you do have to recite kiddush on wine min haTorah. V'al hada amar habavarach sar sheyitom zeh midrabanan. But the idea that there's a need to actually drink from the wine, so that's midrabanan. Which would also then work with the other reading in Nazir. That still a Nazir is not going to have a problem here, because he would just have to recite Kiddush on the wine, he wouldn't necessarily have to drink the wine. So this is an interesting view, right? So out of our 15 views about what is min haTorah and what is not, so we've seen now three of them. Right? That Kiddush requires wine min haTorah. The Kiddush does not require wine. We don't know how much else it does, but not wine. And here's a third view, it requires wine, but not necessarily for drinking. You recite the bracha over the wine, but it doesn't actually have to be consumed, min haTorah. So, yeah.
So, I'm trying to resolve this problem.
Okay.
So, where do we have a tzushtel? We have, like, let's say, tzitzis and shabbos. So whenever we have a conflict, how do we resolve the tzitzis and shabbos?
So that's one of the places we learn the idea of essay dochalos essay.
So can we apply here with the wine? Obviously, the Torah allows for nazir, the idea of nazir. But he's got to have, let's say, and Torah forbids you to have wine. But let's say we say you need wine for kiddush, and then we have a conflict.
And he's saying it's automatic because since naziris inherently includes.
Yeah.
Right, and stam nazir shloshim yom, so presumably, right, even though you can determine the term of your naziris, but stam naziris is 30 days, so it's going to include Shabbos.
Yeah, maybe Yom Kippur. So we have a conflict. So we've had that with tzitzis also. So how do we resolve conflicts when we have mitzvahs this way and can't do it?
So sometimes we say ase dochalos ase.
So is there an ase dochalos?
So here it seems like we don't have to come on to that because according to most of the Rishonim, it's not really a din. So that according to most of the Rishonim, we don't actually have to drink the wine min haTorah. So it's only according to this minority view that a handful of the Rishonim have that apparently understands this to be a chiddush that the pasuk is coming to tell us in this case that naziris outweighs it, overrides it. Because of a special limud from the pasuk, that's what today's daf is telling us. So basically, just to recap, the Gemara in today's daf says that there's a chiddush from the pasuk that the commitment to the naziris overrides mitzvah wine.
If there wasn't.
Right, well the question is, what is mitzvah wine? So according to the Mefarish, it's kiddush. And according to Tosfos, it's not kiddush. Because, well, according to the Gemara, considers that it should be kiddush. Let's say it this way. The Gemara considers it should be kiddush, and then concludes it's not that, it's something else.
But there are other times that we need to have wine, let's say, bris, there's a wine concept.
Right, but there is for sure not an obligation on haTorah. Right there we have bracha alakos, but it's for sure not an obligation of Minhag Torah.
How do we know when it is and it isn't?
Well, we need to have some kind of source, and it doesn't seem like even when it comes to Kiddush that we have a source, except that that's what this Tosos is explaining, that maybe it's through looking to other places in Tanakh where Zechir is associated with wine. But even after going through all that, then the same Tosos says, but still it's probably the Rabban, and still it's probably an Asmachta. So basically, just to recap the way to read the Gemara in today's daf, so the Gemara says that there's a din learned out from a pasuk that the conflict between the Naziris and mitzvah wine is that Naziris wins, that a Nazir doesn't drink the mitzvah wine. But the Gemara wants to know, what are we talking about? What's mitzvah wine? So it considers that it might be Kiddush and concludes, no, it's not that. It is somebody who pre-existingly had taken a shvua not to drink wine. So he had an obligation to drink, and now he has a contradictory naziris to not drink wine. So the question is, why did the Gemara reject Kiddush and Havdalah as a choice? So according to the Mefarish, because how could you cancel a Kiddush? That's an obligation in Minhag Torah. And according to Tosfos, it's because there's no need to have the source, because there's no obligation in Minhag Torah for a Kiddush. So we wouldn't need the Gemara to tell us that. It wouldn't be relevant to that. So this question of the role of wine in Kiddush has a number of applications and implications. And one question that a number of Achronim pose is, in practice, whether this is Deraisa, Derabanan, or somewhere in between. So what we do, Friday night, we recite Kiddush on a cup of wine. And we recite a Bari Pri HaGafen before drinking the wine. So how do we understand that? So is it that, you mentioned before Bris Milah, so we know that we have, throughout the year, circumstances where we make public brachos, and we like to make the bracha alakos. That's something that gives extra chashivas to the bracha. So very often, that's what we do. In benching, we often prefer, when possible, to bench alakos. And so you go to a wedding, they're making sheva brachos alakos. The Bris Milah, they're making the brachos alakos. So there's a notion, in general, of brachos to recite them on a cup of wine. Is that what Kiddush is? So we, Friday night, want to make a bracha alakos like all those other things? Or should we say that, no, it's more than that? That the bracha that we recite on Friday night of Bar Pri HaGafen is not like by a bris or brachos hamazon or a chuppah, where it's a koshel bracha, and we're reciting the Bar Pri HaGafen in order to drink it. But it's integrated into the Kiddush itself. Whether in Minhag Torah or Midrabanan, but it's somehow a part of the process of Kiddush. And in a way, that's more fundamental than other brachos halakos. So what difference would it make, and what indications do you have one way or another? So, just to mention one indication, so Rav Soloveitchik in his Yortzeit Shirim pointed out that the Gemara Maseches Brachos, there is a machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel as to the order of Kiddush. So, we make Bar Pri HaGafen first and then the Bracha of Kiddush. But Beis Shammai's view was it should be the other way around. You should make the Bracha of Kiddush first and then the Bar Pri HaGafen. So, what does that show you? So, he thought that according to Beis Shammai, you would make Kiddush first because that's what you normally do when you make a bracha alakos. So you have, let's say, benching, and then after you finish benching, you make a bracha and you drink the wine. But having it first and then having the Kiddush in between the bracha and the drinking, so that, Beis Hillel's view, that seems to suggest that it's actually integrated into the Kiddush itself. So how does that affect things if we say that it actually is a part of the mitzvah of Kiddush? So there are a number of possible nafkaminas of discussion in the poskim. What happens if you make Kiddush Friday night, alakos, but you forget to make a Bar Pri HaGafen? So you're reciting a bracha, so you don't notice that it doesn't have all the words, so you make the bracha on Kiddush, and then you drink. So should we say that, okay, Lamaisa, you're supposed to make a bracha before you drink, but you forgot, so what can you do? Or should we say, no, the Bar Pri HaGafen was actually meant to be a part of the Kiddush, and you're missing now a part of the Kiddush, because this isn't just stam a matir for the wine, but this is actually a part of the Kiddush. There are other indications like that. For example, There is a Gemara in Maseches Erevin on Daf Mem, where the Gemara talks about making a bracha ala kos on Yom Kippur. So if we make Shechianu ala kos, and how would that work? So if it's Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to drink. So what are you going to do about that? So here, Yud Ches and Yud Tes, is this Gemara, if it's actually the same source repeated, but you can pick either one on page 11. So here, this Gemara in Erevin, which talks about this notion of making a bracha, and then what are you going to do about the drink? So Rashi has a language, which I think I wasn't clear about because I don't think I actually made it into the box. But Rashi has this language that, yeah, you're going to have to figure out how you drink, because Gnaihu Lakosh Shel Bracha, it's going to be a disgrace to the Kosh Shel Bracha if you're not going to drink. So clearly you have to figure out how you're going to drink, and how's that going to square with Yom Kippur? So you'd think that's a strange way to ask the question. Because shouldn't you say that you need to drink because you made a bracha and it's going to be a bracha levatala if you don't drink? And presumably the whole point of the bracha was because you're drinking. So why are we saying that, oh, you should drink? Because otherwise to make the bracha on the drink and not drink is a gnai. And the Rashash asked that question. The Rashash source of Yimel says, Tamua, the asa mehamisobe v'shiva. That he seems to say things backwards, to say that it's a gnai to not drink. The issue should be that the whole bracha was there for the purpose of drinking. Yeah. Well, that's what Gemara is trying to figure out. Like, how would you deal with, if you're going to have a bracha lakos in Yom Kippur, so how are you going to deal with the drinking?
You shouldn't have the
kos. That's what we don't, that's what we, right. Right. But that Gemara is trying to work that out, and that's how this comes up. So this whole issue of where Bar Pri HaGafen fits in here affects a few other things. So, for example, there is a Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, which we'll also draw upon in a minute, that the Gemara talks about the standard of Arvos. This is source Yud Aleph. Just giving you a real workout here, that you get to turn around the page, turn the pages. Yeah, so here on the top of page 8, the Gemara says about the din of Arvos, that Arvos, which is not the same thing as Shemei Ka'onah, but it's related. Now, when it comes to Shemei Ka'onah, if you want to make a bracha on behalf of somebody else, so we know that that works, assuming the one who's making the bracha is also obligated. So you need to hear Kiddush from somebody who's obligated in Kiddush. So what if they already heard Kiddush? So then they're not obligated anymore. You're only obligated to hear it once. So how does that work, though? Because we know, let's say on Rosh Hashanah, after shul, there are people who go to the nursing homes to blow shofar. But we should say they're not qualified because they're not obligated to blow shofar another time, so they're not obligated. So if you're not obligated, you can't be motzi. So here is the principle of Arvos, which the Gemara explains here. Tani Ava Breder of Zera, Kala Brachos Kulan, Afal Pi Sheyatza Motzi. That when it comes to brachos in general, so you are able to be motzi somebody else, even though you were already yotze yourself. So the fact that you fulfill the mitzvah doesn't disqualify you. Afal pisha yotze motzi. But what the Gemara is going to explain is that this is true for birchos ha-mitzvos. When you have a mitzvah, so then because of the shared obligation of the mitzvah and the responsibility for everyone else, so that arvus allows you to stay in the game and to make kiddush for, or to make a bracha of a mitzvah for somebody else. But it's not true for food brachos. So let's say if somebody wants to have a cookie and another person is going to make the bracha on his behalf, so if they're both eating cookies, okay, so they can do that. But if the person who's reciting the bracha is not eating a cookie, so then he cannot make a bracha on behalf of the person listening. Even though he could do that for shofar, he could do that for other things, That's because of the mitzvah. But a bracha on food, a berachas hananin, it doesn't work. So that's what the Gemara says, chutz mi berachas halacha mi berachas hayayin, shim lo yotza motzi. So if you need the bracha, you're yourself eating, you're not yotza. So then, yeah, you can make it on behalf of somebody else. Vim yotza. But if no, you don't have any current obligation, then ain't no motzi. So given that distinction, that when it comes to mitzvos, you can recite a bracha on behalf of somebody else, even if you already did it. And when it comes to food, that's not true. So the Gemara says, well, I have an interesting in-between question. Vay Rava, berachas halechem shel matzah, uberachas hayayin shel kiddush hayom, mahu. So if you're telling me food brachos, this doesn't work. Well, what about the bari pri agafen of kiddush? Or the bracha on matzah at the Seder? Mahu, what's the story there? Do we say, kevan dechovahu mapik? So now, Levi, you need to do it. You need to have the wine. So there's a chiv. So that's treated like a mitzvah. Odilma bracha lav chovah. No, it's a regular bracha. So that's considered like a berachas hanen. So that seems to suggest, and the Ritva over here, see in the source on the bottom of the page, depending on how you read it, a little bit of discussion how to read this Ritva, but he seems to say it a little bit more, that what the Gemara seems to be suggesting here is that, let's say, the Bari Pri Agafen on Kiddush is some kind of a hybrid. It's some kind of an unusual bracha. It's not simply a Berachas Hananin, but in the same kind of wine somebody may have at any other time. But it takes on a Berachas HaMitzvah status because it is integrated into this Chiyuv of Kiddush. So that also maybe suggests that there is something that is unusual about the Bari Pri Agafen that's in Kiddush. And maybe it's not just there as a bracha alakos, but it takes on its own status as part of the Kiddush itself. There was another nafkamina of this question. Reb Chaim Brisker had a position that the Magen Avraham writes that let's say it's Motzi Shabbos, and you want to hear Havdalah. But you are davening Ma'ariv very intensely, so you're still davening when they start Havdalah. So you don't hear the whole beginning. And you don't hear Hinei Kel Yishuasi, and you don't hear Bari Pri Agafen. And you run into the room just before they're about to say Baruch HaMavdil. So all you hear is Baruch HaMavdil. So the Magen Avraham says that you are Yotzei with that. And all you really need to hear to be Yotzei Havdalah is Baracha, the bracha of Hamavdil ben Kodesh Lachol. But the bracha is supposed to be Alakos. The whole point of that institution is Havdalah Alakos. You already said Atachonotanu anyway, so you only need Havdalah for Alakos, and you don't hear the Baruch Pri Agafen. Why is that okay? So presumably it's okay because, yes, the Havdalah needs to be recited Alakos. But if you're not the one reciting it, so then you don't have to make a Bari Pri Agafen. The one who's saying it publicly, he needs to make a Bari Pri Agafen so he can drink the wine. But if you only heard the Havdalah bracha that was made halakos, okay, so then you fulfill your obligation. So Reb Chaim thought that that might be true by Havdalah, but it wouldn't be true by Kiddush. Because Kiddush, the Bari Pri Agafen, is playing a different role. And the Bari Pri Agafen is a part of the Kiddush itself. And therefore, if you miss that, you are missing a part of Kiddush. Now, practically speaking, something that's always bothered me is that that actually is a big challenge in big public settings. So sometimes you have a Friday night event, you know, if I go to Yeshiva Friday night, so you have a large room where a lot of people are eating together. And if they're listening to one Mekadesh on behalf of everyone, so if the one reciting Kiddush has the practice that many have of starting standing up and then sitting down right before Baruch Pri Agafen. So what happens is, so then you have 100 people in the room, so right before Baruch Pri Agafen, 100 chairs rustle. And this is a real practical issue. So many people in the room do not hear the Baruch Pri Agafen being recited. And according to Reb Chaim, that's a problem. They're not Yotzei Kiddush. They're not going to be in fulfillment. So he's thought that's perhaps a chumra d'asla de kula. So if you're going to switch positions in the middle of Kiddush and it's very loud, you're going to result in a lot of people maybe not hearing Kiddush. So that's something to think about in light of this position. So these...
For the daytime Kiddush, there only is Bar Periyah.
Correct. So Bar Periyah, daytime Kiddush is different. And the truth is, that's a whole other sugya, which would be kedai to look into on its own. According to some of the Rishonim, daytime Kiddush shouldn't even really be called Kiddush, that it's a melitza. We call it Kiddusha Rabba. Right, so we know that it's half of a melitza, right? Because it's called the big kiddush. So yes, in our shul it's a big kiddush, but we know that it's not really halachically the bigger kiddush, because according to 14 out of 15 opinions, the kiddush of daytime is midrabanan. One of the 15 views, the Maharam Mirutenberg, which is also not so explicit, but it sounds like from Maharam Mirutenberg that kiddush of daytime is also min haTorah. So that's one of the 15 positions. But according to the other 14, so kiddush during the daytime is midrabanan.
The opposite of
Purim.
Well,
yes, so the Purim, right, so we're getting towards Purim, daytime. Right, not everyone knows that, but it's true that according to almost all the Rishonim, that the daytime is the Iker. Well, you know, there's a lot to say about that, but that's its own topic. But when it comes to this, so Kedusha Rabbah, so we know that half of it is a Melitza, because it's not really the big Kiddush, so it sounds sarcastic to call it the big Kiddush. But according to some of the Rishonim, it's not even Kiddush. So the whole phrase is a Melitza, that it shouldn't be called Rabbah or Kedusha, literally, it's just a phrase. Because the lumdus of daytime Kiddush does require a lot of explanation. What exactly is it that we're doing? So especially because there is no recitation there, other than the Bar Periyah Gafen. So that's its own discussion, how to relate to that daytime Kiddush. But at night, so it's a different story. So there are other issues that are affected by this, just to mention one major discussion. So there was a question that was raised that Friday night, you go to shul Friday night, are you Yotze Kiddush in shul? Now, we make Kiddush in shul. And many shuls in America do that as well. But that complicates the question. Let's assume that you're not making Kiddush in shul. And you have Shemoneh Esrei. So let's say like in Eretz Yisrael, most of the shuls do not make Kiddush in shul. The Mechaber thought that they shouldn't make Kiddush in shul. So the Gemara says they made Kiddush in shul bismanehem because they used to have people eating in shul. So they made Kiddush on behalf of the guests who were eating in the shul. But nowadays, usually not the case. So it's a question why we still recite Kiddush in the shul Friday night, and many places don't. But let's assume that they're not making Kiddush in shul. But you are davening Shemoneh Esrei and mentioning Shabbos. So on a d'oraisa level, does that fulfill the concept of Zachar Shemoneh Shabbos L'kadsho? Should we say that you are at least fulfilling the mitzvah min haTorah?
Rabbi Akiva Eger says, isn't he the one that says good Shabbos to somebody?
Oh, so that's true. So that's also interesting. So we'll come back to that, Rabbi Akiva. I'm going to mention him in a different Rabbi Akiva Eger. Maybe we'll mention that Rabbi Akiva Eger. But it's an interesting Rabbi Akiva Eger. But first, that's one that also connects to these different positions. But you're right. So the position seems to be that maybe Kiddush min haTorah only requires a recitation, a mention of Shabbos. And therefore, since you mentioned Shabbos in your Shemoneh Esrei in Shul, so maybe on a level min haTorah, you fulfill the mitzvah. Now, what difference does it make? Because still midrabanan, you have to go home and do everything else. You still have an obligation midrabanan of Kiddush Olayayin and of Kiddush Makom Suda. So you're certainly not done. You certainly have to do all the rest of it. But is it possible that on a level min haTorah, you would say? So would it matter? So it could matter for a few things. But one thing that it might matter for is, according to the Noda Behuda, it could cause marital discord. It could cause problems in the house. Why? Because, it says, normally what happens, so he's assuming here that the women aren't going to shul Friday night, and he's also assuming that they're not davening ma'ariv. So says the Noda Behuda, the husband is going to go to shul, and he's going to be yotze kiddush min haTorah. Okay, he's still obligated midrabanan, but he's yotze min haTorah. Women are obligated in Kiddush the same way men are. That's what the Gemara says, that Zachar Sama Shabbos L'kadsho, and there's an unusual hekesh linking Zechira and Shmira. So Shmira means the losaseis of Shabbos. Whoever is obligated not to do malacha on Shabbos is obligated in the mitzvah of Kiddush, even though you would have thought it's a mitzvah to say Shazman Grama. So the hekesh tells us not that way. So women are not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos, so they're obligated min haTorah in Kiddush. That's what we saw Tosfos reference, Nashim chayavos b'Kiddush yom dvar Torah. So what's going to happen? The man's going to come home, he's going to want to make Kiddush for his family. But his wife is more obligated than he is, because she's obligated in Kiddush min haTorah. He knocked out his obligation min haTorah. So he's only obligated midrabanan. So in order to be motzi someone else, we said before, you have to be chayev. But not only do you have to be chayev, you have to be at least as chayev as the one listening. So if the wife is obligated min haTorah and the man is obligated midrabanan, so how's that going to work? So this is what the Noda de Behuda asked. This was in his commentary to Shulchan Aruch, which is called Dagal Mervava. So the Dagal Mervava raises this question, how are you going to have that? Now the truth is, the simple answer would be, well, we discussed this already. This is Arvus. That's what we saw from the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, that the fact that you have discharged your obligation doesn't mean that you can't do it on behalf of somebody else. So why can't you just use normal Arvus here? So the issue is that the Noda B'Yehuda has a quote from the Rush in Maseches Brachos on Daf Chav that he understands to mean, there's a very perplexing statement on the surface, that Arvus does not work for women. That it only links the obligation of men and not of women.
Well, why should that? The same level. You have to be at the same level.
Oh, so we'll have to come back to that. But that's the way the Noda B'Yehuda read it.
You have a problem with Shofar also.
Perhaps, yes. If you take it on that level. But this is the way the conversation starts. So how do you deal with this issue? So there are a number of ways to deal with it. One way you could say is you disagree with the Magen Avraham, that maybe you're not Yotzei. This question of what is included in the obligation of HaTorah. So the Magen Avraham was assuming that just saying it is enough, so maybe we don't accept that premise. So if you say it needs to have wine min haTorah and they're not actually making Kiddush Holocaust in your shul, so then you wouldn't be Yotze. The Menaches Chinuch thought there was a different problem. So it sounds like from the Gemara that there's a din that sounds like it's min haTorah, that Kiddush requires Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. So davening doesn't have Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim in Kiddush. Again, if you recite Kiddush, then you'll have it, but so it's nafkamina for us, where we do recite Kiddush, but if you're just relying on the Shmoneh Esrei, so you don't have Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the Menaches Chinuch said it doesn't get off the ground for that reason. You can't be Yotzei without Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. So apparently, some assume, the Magen Avraham is assuming, that even though there's a din of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim in Kiddush, it's not Ma'akev, which is hard because it sounds like it's a din min haTorah. So normally a din min haTorah is crucial. So how could it be that you could say there's a din min haTorah to make Kiddush with a Yetzias Mitzrayim, and yet if you don't, you're still Yotzei Kiddush? So Rav Asher Weiss thought that maybe it's because it's a din min haTorah that's not about Kiddush. It's about Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. There's an obligation to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim, and one of the opportunities you're supposed to take to do that is Kiddush. So if you fail to do that, you have shortchanged your Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, but not Kiddush. So that's one way to look at it. I think Rabbi Yonatan Sacks, if I remember correctly, one of his farim, he said it a little differently. That, and this is a topic which I'm just throwing in now also because it's relevant to this week's Parsha, so to also appreciate one of the themes of an extra synergy here, that we read about Yetzias Mitzrayim, and Yetzias Mitzrayim is so crucial to our philosophy, and it's a part of the basic amunah that we believe God created the world. But it's not enough to stop there, like the deists believe that God created the world and he left it there. So we believe God created the world, but also he continues to be involved in history. And therefore, a part of the Zechira is Shabbos, that's creation, and Zechira is Yetzias Mitzrayim, that he involved himself in human history and guided events. So they're all a continuation of the same theme. So Zechira is Yetzias Mitzrayim enhances the notion of Briyas HaOlam and God's creation. So Kiddush, ideally, will be a testament to creation and a more specific testament to creation of going farther than that and also going to Yetzias Mitzrayim as well. So that is, if you assume that that's all a part of it, ideally, but maybe still the Iker Mitzvah Kiddush would be Yotzei without it, so maybe it's still possible to say like the Magen Avraham. But if you say like the Menaches Chinuch, so then perhaps that could knock out the question. Another way to knock out the question is you could say that you should have kavana not to be yotze. And the Chassam Sofer has two different ways of saying this in different places in his tshuvas. He says that either when you go to shul Friday night, even if you have the elements of kiddush, still you should have kavana not to be yotze with that kiddush, and then you won't have this problem. And another place in his tshuvas, he says a little differently, that it's not up to you to have the kavana. Right, you can forget to have kavana. Forget the kavana. So he writes elsewhere that it's just assumed, the concept of lev bezdin masna lehim, that we just, on behalf of Chal Yisrael, we incorporate this tonight, that you shouldn't be yotzei kiddush in shul. Now, the truth is, you want that anyway, because aside from this issue that the Dagom Ravava is bringing up, in general, we don't like splitting up daraisas and darabanans. That if the Chazal say to do a mitzvah in a certain way, so then we should assume that we should do it the full way. So we don't want to do the mitzvah in the Torah and then only later do the mitzvah the Rabbanan. So it's not ideal anyway. So even without this Dagom Ravava, you'd want to not be Yotze in Shul because you don't want to split up the obligation. Which is why it's probably not a good advice to deal with this issue. You say, well, the husband is Yotze in Shul, now he's only obligated with Rabbanan. So let's tell the wife to do the same thing. Let her also daven beforehand, so she'll also be brought down to our level. She'll be brought down to the Rabbanan. So that's probably not a great etzah, because it wasn't a great situation for the man either. So really, better to go the other way and say, have kavana not to be yotze in shul, so that you don't split up the mitzvah, which in general we don't want to do anyway, and you can be motzi, your wife also. Sorry?
I was going to say the same thing. You got to have kavana twice, three times. Yes. You got to have kavana, not to have kavana.
Start off by saying we don't know why.
Like three
they're not guests.
Right.
They're not issues, so...
So don't make kiddush in shul.
Yeah, I mean,
right, so that's what
you say.
That's, bring it to the ritual that, committee.
Now, I happen to be a fan of kiddush in shul.
Are,
I am. So why? I could tell you, but we'll never finish tonight. So a lot more to say about kiddush. So
Friday night.
Yeah, maybe, so I have discussed in the past, and there'll be a Friday night. God willing, we'll come back to this point.
We never make it.
Yeah, a lot of places they don't. But I can explain to you, there are a lot of reasons why those who do, and I have my own reason, but we'll come back to it at a different time. But either way, the question of the Magen Avraham was saying that even without it, you have this issue because of davening. Now you have it worse when you make kiddush and shul because then you have the wine and you have other aspects and zichris is mitzrayim. So you're cutting off some of your answers. But according to the Magen Avraham, you had the issue anyway. Now, in general, another approach here that, first of all, there's a meta question that applies beyond this. That it's a question in general, when Chazal modify a mitzvah, when they add on to a mitzvah, there's a big machlokas, and it's its own many hours long shir, of does the mitzvah continue to exist on a level of Min HaTorah without that? Does the whole concept exist of saying, well, I didn't do the rabbinic part, but I'm Yotzei the part Min HaTorah? Or should we say that there's no such thing? When the rabbi has redefined a mitzvah, so now there is no lower way of doing it. And there's no way to say, well, I'm Yotzei Min HaTorah, I'm not Yotzei Min HaRabbanan. So some take that approach in general, and that would rule out this whole possibility. There is an interesting debate between the Rush and Rabbeinu Yonah that the question came up of this issue of, to really to address for a second your question, which is I'm not going to address now, but so why do we nowadays make kiddush in shul? So Rabbeinu Yonah thought that maybe we should do it because there might be people who aren't going to make kiddush at home. So at least let's give them a little bit of kiddush. So let's recite kiddush on their behalf, even though it's not going to be the full mitzvah midrabanan, but it's something, so let's give them a little bit of kiddush. Maybe you should do it on their behalf. So the Rush says, no, that's not going to be helpful. You're not going to be yotze anyway that way. So what does the Rush mean by that? So you could say, like we just said, that if once the Rabbanan add on to the mitzvah, it has to be makom suda, so then that redefines the mitzvah. Some say that the Rush meant that kiddush makom suda is a din min haTorah. So if you're not in makom suda, you're not even yotze min haTorah. It's difficult to say that way. The Rishonim and Psachim discuss what the source is for kiddush makom suda. It's two different versions of what looks like a drasha on a pasuk. The pasuk is in Yeshayahu. The pasuk says Zachar Sama Shabbos Lakadsho. So in the Rishonim, two different versions of this. Zachar Sama Shabbos Lakadsho, but makom zchira. Not, I'm sorry, not the pasuk of a karas l'shabbos oneg. That's the pasuk that's in Yeshayo, a karas l'shabbos oneg. So according to one version, the drasha is b'makom kriya sham tehe oneg, where you declare kiddush, that's where the meal should be, the oneg, and the other one said the other way around, b'makom oneg sham tehe kriya, wherever you're having the meal, that's where the declaration of kiddush should be. But that's probably not a din min haTorah either. But some say that that's what the Rosh is saying, the din min haTorah of kiddush makom mesuda, so you can't be yotze in shul. Now, it's funny if that's what he means. So then it answers up the question, because the Noda Behuda was only coming from the position of the Rosh with his issue of Arvest. So according to the Rosh himself, if you can't be yotze without makom suda, so then the question's not going to be an issue anyway. But as others explain, what the Rosh probably meant was you didn't think that kiddush makom suda is a din min haTorah. That's hard to sustain. But what he probably meant was that you could be that Kiddush al Yayin maybe is part of the Din Min haTorah. So then the question is, Iman of Shach. So we could come, sorry, Kiddush al Yayin is Drabanan. Sorry, I said that back. Kiddush al Yayin is Drabanan and Makom Suda is Drabanan. So what are you going to accomplish? You already davened. Now you're going to add Kiddush al Yayin, but it's not going to be Makom Suda. So what are you getting? So you're not getting, you already got the Min haTorah with the davening. And if you want to get the Drabanan, you don't have the Makom Suda. So to make another bracha on wine, you're just going to add more drabanans without getting the whole drabanan. So if you want to give them a mitzvah and a Torah, that you got already. You want to give them a mitzvah and a drabanan, you're not getting the whole mitzvah drabanan anyway. So that's probably what the Rosh meant. But in any event, so the basic issue is, was the question really a strong question to begin with? So Joey was alluding to this before, that when the Rosh says, or allegedly says, that there's no arvus by women. So that's a strange idea. Why should there not be arvus by women? Why, the whole notion of Kol Yisrael or Eivim Zal, that why should it not apply? So there are a number of svarim that try to explain it, but the pashup shot is that's not what the Rosh meant. That the Rosh was commenting on a Gemara in Brachos, which talks about Birchos HaMazon, and the Gemara wants to know, are women obligated in Birchos HaMazon min haTorah midrabban? And that's actually an unresolved question on Hayom HaZeh. Believe it or not. And the question is, so the Gemara asks, why do we care? What difference does it make? They ask you the bench anyway, so why do we care whether it's a Dereis or a Drabanan? Which is also surprising, because usually we assume we care because of reasons of Safek. If you're not sure, you have to do it again. But for whatever reason, the Gemara doesn't give that answer. And the Gemara says, the reason we care is because we want to know, can a wife bench on behalf of her husband? So if he's obligated min haTorah and she's only obligated mid Drabanan, so then it's a lower level of obligation, so she won't be able to be motzi him. So the Rosh there discusses, it's more complicated how he gets onto this, but just to take a part of it, he discusses whether arvus would play a role there. And there he says there isn't any arvus between the wife and the husband to accomplish that. So presumably what he means, like I think you were alluding to before, is that arvus means you're responsible for somebody else's mitzvah if they're obligated in the mitzvah. So they need your help to fulfill the mitzvah. So then their obligation connects you. But if they're not obligated in the mitzvah, so then how could you say that you're responsible to help them? They're not obligated. Rav Shach said that was why the practice developed not to say Chazaras Hashatz for Ma'ariv. So because if we say Tfilas Arvus Rishos, but normally why do you have the Chazan repeat the Shmona Esrei? Because he's helping the people who don't know how to daven and fulfill their obligation. But, and that means he's davening a second time. So why is he davening a second time? Because of Arvus, his responsibility allows him to daven a second time. But Ma'ariv is not a chiv anyway, according to the Gemara, or Rishus. So it's not justifiable for him to say a second Shmon Esrei on behalf of people who aren't obligated. So maybe it's the same idea. What the Rosh is saying is that if you don't share the same obligation, that's what the Gemara is saying. Are women obligated in Minat Torah or not in benching? So that's the difference. If you're obligated in the same mitzvah, so then there would be arvus. But if they're not, so then that's where there wouldn't be a obligation to help somebody else out if they're not sharing the same mitzvah. So if that's the case, so then this question doesn't get off the ground, that when it comes to kiddush, so women and men are obligated in the same mitzvah. They're all obligated in kiddush min haTorah, kiddush hayom dvar Torah, as the Gemara says. So there should be the normal arvus. So presumably, that's the easiest answer. And to say that you're, maybe even if you are in fulfillment in shul, So you're still able to make Kiddush on behalf of the whole family because the normal Arvus is there, and that's what kicks in, and that probably should solve all the problems. You mentioned before the other position of Rekiva Eger that maybe saying Good Shabbos on a Friday afternoon is considered to be a Kabbalah Shabbos. Maybe that's considered to be a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Kiddush. So that's also part of the 15 opinions, because the question is, you have to mention Shabbos, maybe that's enough, or maybe you have to praise Shabbos. So, okay, you say good Shabbos, you say something that's Zachar Sim Shabbos Lakadsha, right? What does Lakadsha mean? So Zachar Sim Shabbos, you have to remember it, but you also have to be Makadish it somehow. So, oh, so that's the thing. So there are people who are Makbid on Friday afternoon when they're leaving work, and not to say good Shabbos to people because they're worried that this might be a fulfillment of Kiddush. So they say good Erev Shabbos, something else, to Dafka, change it. They shouldn't sound like they're being Makadish Shabbos at that point. But we also see that, according to the Menchas Chinuch, Yizchirsius Mitzrayim is Makev, and some hold you have to mention Kedusha Shabbos. So I remember Rabbi Sobolovsky mentioning once about this. He says, in order for this to be a problem, you'd probably have to say to people, see, I can say this Thursday night because it's not after, it's not close enough, but you'd have to say that good Shabbos Kodesh, Zecher Letzias Mitzrayim. So if that's your greeting, you know, but it would be an issue. But other than that, it probably wouldn't be. So in any event, so what we've seen so far is that there's a lot to figure out about whether Yayin is really a part of the mitzvah of Kiddush or not, and whether the Bar Priya Gafen in Kiddush takes on a different role, a more integral role in the Kiddush experience than the regular bracha lakos that we see elsewhere. So why should it be? If you do hold that it's not just a bracha lakos, but it's more than that, and it's integrated into the Kiddush in a significant way, so why should that be the case? So Rav Soloveitchik in his Yartzei Shiurim, he has a lot to say about this. So he suggested, if I remember correctly, suggested as follows, that there is a strong thematic link between Kiddush and the concept of a Birchas Hanen. That if you think about it, they're really essentially the same kind of idea. That Shabbos, the notion is that Sheishas Yom Tavod, you're allowed to work and benefit from the world for 6 days a week. Why? Because you take out one day out of every seven and you acknowledge that God created the world. So what's that Birchas Hanen? And it's the same idea, right? So you are benefiting from this world. So, but the Gemara says, how do you reconcile that with L'Hashem Ha'aretz U'Milo'ah? Kan kodem bracha, kan la'acher bracha. That the world is God's, but if you pause to acknowledge that God created the world and you owe him for that, so then he lets you benefit from this world. So the concept of a Birchas Hanenin is really very similar to the concept of Shabbos, that you're about to enjoy something as long as you first acknowledge God's creation of that and pause to do that. So perhaps Chazal integrated into Kiddush a Birchas Hanenin and made that a part of the Kiddush experience specifically because of that thematic link. And it's noteworthy that if you want to compare it to Havdalah, so we said Havdalah is probably different, Havdalah is the Bracha Lakos, so you can see that reflected also, because one major difference between Bracha, between the Ayin in Kiddush and in Havdalah, is what's the runner-up. So let's say you don't have, we brought up before, let's say you don't have wine. So for Havdalah, if you don't have wine, so you can make Havdalah on a Chamar Medina and some other kind of chash of a drink that's not wine. For Friday night, if you don't have wine, so as was noted before, you make Kiddush on challah. So what's the difference? Why challah and Chamar Medina? Because Havdalah is a bracha lakos. So the kos ideally would be wine. If it's not wine, it's some other kind of a chash of a drink. While Friday night, it's not about a bracha lakos. It's about the Birchas Hanenin that's integrated into the Kiddush. And that bracha is on a chash of a food. It's on a Kviya Suda kind of idea. So wine is associated with Kviya Suda. And especially, it's also connected to the idea of Kiddush Makom Suda, that whole idea of Makom Kriya Sham Teheoneg. So that's also how some understood the connection between wine and Kiddush Makom Suda. That some of the Rishonim say like that, that once Chazal were saying you should make Kiddush on wine, they're saying this Dhamma, it's the wine of the Suda, the wine of Makom Suda should all be a part of that idea that the Kviya Suda should be integrated into the Kiddush experience. Which is why we find that we have a greater chumrah not to eat before Kiddush than by other things. That we know that in general we have mitzvos, so we're not supposed to eat before the mitzvah. But we're makel on minor eating, water, things like that. But when it comes to Kiddush, so we're much more machmir about, much more absolute, don't eat anything before Kiddush. So the notion is not just that there's a mitzvah that we have to do, but that the nature of that mitzvah is that this comes before all the kviyas achila, all of the eating that is happening that's associated with this. So perhaps that's part of the idea that whether we're talking about a Torah midrabanan, but the way we have Kiddush nowadays is that the concept of the Bar Priya Gofen and the Berachos HaNenin that represents becomes integrated into the Kiddush experience because of that shared theme. Okay, so speaking of Berachos HaNenin, thank you to Jeremy, as always, for taking care of all of that.
The Shul for sponsoring.
Yes, thank you to Shul for sponsoring. Yashar Koach, and we'll have more thank yous to you in the next 48 hours. And it should be only good things.